This is Marty Block. I'm chair of the board, and I would like to call to order this meeting of the California Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board. It is Wednesday, April 15th. This meeting is being conducted via teleconference because of the COVID-19 need to social distance. All board members are apparently on the phone, but we will go through our formal roll call as item number one on the agenda. I'll let the roll call show the chair is here. Vice Chair Reeves?
Present.
Member Eng?
Present.
Member Allen?
Present.
And Member Kent Monning?
Present.
And Laura, I want to welcome you on behalf of the board. I'll give you more of a welcome during my chair's report, but we're very, very happy to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Good, good. As we proceed with approval of the minutes and further on with any discussion, I'll be calling the board members by roll. Normally at a meeting, it's just a matter of people getting my attention, raising their hand or whatever, and I'll call on whoever wants to be called on. But for each item, including approval of the minutes, I'll go through a roll of board members so everybody has a chance to speak. Board members, you don't need to mute your phone unless you have background noise there. And of course, board members, you can speak whenever you feel the need to, although we'll try to keep it in the order that I call your names. Those who are not board members, if you have a particular spot on the agenda when you're giving a report, you will, of course, speak then. But other than that time, unless you're asked a question by a board member, it's best to keep muted. And members of the public, if any wish to address the board, that will come up in item number five of our agenda. And other than that one item number five, where members of the public will have a chance to address the board, members of the public are expected to refrain from comments and if possible, to mute your phone. That said, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. We did not have a March meeting, again, because of COVID-19. So we are now going to move to approve the minutes of February 19th, 2020, which was a couple months ago. From the four members who attended that meeting, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Mike Ding.
Okay. Member Eng moves. Member Allen seconds. Okay, I will now do a roll call. The chair votes to approve. Member Reeves?
Approve.
Member Eng?
Approve.
Member Allen?
Approved.
Okay, please show the, Laura, you can vote if you wish to. I didn't call on you because you weren't there, but do you wish to approve? Do you wish to vote to either approve or deny, or do you wish to abstain?
I can abstain. I reviewed all the notes, but since I wasn't there, I will abstain. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So will the minutes reflect that the minutes of the previous meeting were approved 4-0. Now we'll move on to the chair's report. It's been a couple months. So I've got several items to report, and there's been a lot, of course, going on in the last couple of months. But while everything else was going on in the world, it's important to note that our board members at the appellate level did resolve 1,370 cases. So in addition to everything else, the board has been busy hearing and reviewing and resolving cases. Other items for the chair's report, I do want to formally welcome Laura Kent Monning to the board. I know her father very well, Senator Bill Monning, and I'm looking forward to getting to know Laura very well. There's a very odd welcome to the board because none of the board members have met Laura in person yet, but I'm sure I'm speaking for all the board members that we're very happy to have you on board, and particularly given the increase in cases we're going to probably see very soon, it's great to have a fifth board member, and want to thank the governor for the appointment. And Laura, you'll have an opportunity to make comments when we come to your report.
Fabulous. Right thank now, you for the welcome.
Okay. Well, glad you're here. Moving on to some things that have happened since the last board meeting, and we'll hear in detail from our Chief ALJ and Executive Director Elena Gonzalez, but we did meet the Department of Labor timeliness standards in March, and we were not sure we were going to get there, especially once coronavirus hit. But thanks to Elena's leadership and the efforts of the presiding judges across the state, and of course the ALJs and all the staff that support them, we did in fact make timeliness once again. And I want to thank everybody for the hard work to get there. And again, we will hear more from Elena during her report on this. Speaking of Elena, since our last meeting, she has sent out a memo to all letting us know that she plans to retire in the near future, not immediately, and a search has begun. And Elena will speak more to that as well, but I'd be remiss if I didn't, and this will be the first of many times, but thank her for the incredible work she's done, the great service she's given to CUIAB over many years now. So thank you, Elena. A couple other comments from the chair. Because of COVID-19, our leadership in particular has worked an amazing number of hours to get folks prepared to be able to telework. And we've kind of changed our way of doing business so that our hearings are now being done telephonically instead of in person. Many of our judges and those staff who are able are working from home doing telework. Many folks are not able to do the work they have to do from home, and it's essential work, so they are still in the office, but they are spacing out as much as possible, and things are working out as well as could possibly have been hoped a few weeks ago. Again, a lot of credit goes to our leadership, but also to each individual member of CUIAB for dealing with this crisis, this emergency, as well as we have. And just to give a quick overview, and some of you may know these numbers, the governor quoted these stats earlier this week. But over the last 4 weeks, 2.3 million people have claimed unemployment benefits. 2.3 million claims in 4 weeks. To put that in perspective, that's more than all of 2019 in just the last 4 weeks. And in the last week alone, we've had nearly 1 million claims for unemployment. This is a percentage increase. If you look at the same week last year compared to this year, last week, the increase has been 2,418%. So 2,418% increase over the same week last year. So as you can tell from those numbers, and certainly just from the popular press, our work is cut out for us, and our judges, our ALJs, our staff, we're all going to be in high drive for the foreseeable future, and the board members, of course, will be getting appeals, and we'll be very, very busy. So thank you all for all you've done. Thank you all for all you're going to do for the next many months, and hopefully we'll see an end to the crisis sometime in the not-too-distant future, but the cases will, I'm sure, continue to roll out for a long time. With that, that concludes the chair's report. We'll now move to Vice Chair Reeves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have two quick points. One, I'd like to congratulate and thank all the field office judges and the administrative staff who really worked very, very hard to meet those federal mandates. And I'm extremely pleased that we did. I also like to thank Elena and her team for making sure that we got there and her leadership. And then secondly, I'd like to just welcome aboard Laura. I'm very, very much pleased to have you aboard and looking forward to actually meeting you.
Thank you.
Oh. Okay, thank you, Dan. Does that conclude your report?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks. We'll move now to Member Ang. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just some very brief comments. I'm sure as the pandemic has widened, I have received quite a few comments from friends and family, as I'm sure you have too. And to keep it short, here's a summary of these comments. Quote, I've never commented about this before, but I am so thankful for the unemployment insurance system we have in California. I'm sure you're receiving more than a ton of applications more than ever before. So please tell everyone where you work how grateful we are for their service. And this is just kind of a composite of a number of texts and emails from people who have frankly weren't either interested or knowledgeable about being on the appeals board. So it goes without saying, of course, as Mr. Chair pointed out, that the gratefulness obviously extends to everyone who has been responsible for the increase in the resources that make this possible. In conclusion, Mr. Chair, I'm glad that you authorized that tour that we had of EDD and other locations. That represents just a fraction of the people working in our agency, but it goes without saying that California, as we do, appreciates them now more than ever before. And I know that there's been other agencies that have been shifted over to perform the work. Secondly, I want to welcome our newest board member, Laura Kent Munning. I've been in your shoes not too distantly in the past when I joined the board last year. And like Chair Block said, I also have served with your father and also share something in common with you, which is a background of working to ensure benefits for our immigrants, immigration law community. And also want to echo the comments that were made about thanking Elena and everyone on board for stepping up to the task, the FOALJs, the AOs, and everyone that's been involved in a relatively short period of time of getting the agency together. And I know that we're going to benefit from the experiences that Member Allen and others have had, Mr. Block, of having been here when we had a huge uptick in our cases. So really grateful. I think we're really prepared for that. And those are the extent of my comments, and I thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Member Ng. Moving on now to report by Member Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the outset, I just want to say that I think that the staff of the CUIB and the leadership team turned this agency on a dime when the emergency, the public health emergency arose. I can't believe how probably difficult and complicated it was to go to completely telephonic hearings and to try to set up folks at their homes to be able to do the telephone hearings. I can only imagine all the demands made on our technological people, our folks who help us with all the technology needs that we have. The other thing I wanted to note is that there were some communications put out by Elena and Chair Block during this period of time, and I found them very compassionate and very human and very effective in communicating to the staff our appreciation for them and understanding that we were being asked to step up big time during this public health emergency. And so I just wanted to acknowledge all of that because I'm just so proud of our agency and just so proud of this administration and the public workers of California stepping up to the challenge. And secondly, of course, I want to warmly welcome Laura Kent Munning to our board. I too served with her father, and I just so look forward to working with her and all the other board members during this time of public health emergency. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Allen. And now for our first member's report, our newest board member, Laura Kent Munning.
Well, thank you all fellow members and Chair Block. It is truly an honor to be here. And I'm sending a virtual hello to everybody for my first board meeting. It is definitely a strange time to be joining any new job because of the inability to collaborate directly with people. However, I have just found this past month to be incredibly inspiring to see the leadership and all the employees of this agency and the commitment that everyone has to, you know, overnight transform operations has just been incredible. I have received such a warm welcome, and while I always knew how important the work of this agency was, starting at this time is just really, I can't even express how inspiring it is to see what everyone is doing to show their commitment to serve Californians during this time. And I am just very honored to be here and to be joining in that effort to serve everybody in our great state. So thank you all for the hard work that you've been doing. And I look forward to working with everyone and hopefully in person, not in the too distant future. So thank you all.
Okay, well, thank you, Member Kent Monning. And we do look forward to meeting you in person soon. We move now to item number 5 on our agenda, which is public comment. Let me say, when we get to members of the public, each member would have up to 5 minutes to address the board on the topic that they wish to address. And right now, I'm going to just ask everybody at once, any members of the public who wish to address the board, please state your name now, all together now. Is there any member who wishes to address the board? One more time, any member of the public wish to address the board? Hearing none, I will just report that we did get a letter submitted by ALJ Wong, which was sent for our March meeting. Of course, that meeting was canceled, so we are officially accepting that letter today. And now we move on to item number 6, a report by Elena Gonzalez, our chief ALJ and executive director. Elena.
Good afternoon, Chair Block, Vice Chair Reeves, and other board members. I will start by welcoming also Member Kent Monning. I was so looking forward to meeting with you, and we normally have cake and we socialize before the meeting, so you get to get a feeling for the staff and the rest of us. And as you pointed out, it's a very strange time, but we're very much looking forward to working with you. And I hear you've already started hearing or you already started with cases, so it's wonderful to welcome you. And someday soon, I hope the senior staff and I will get to meet you in person. As a result of all of the other information we've had lately, thanking people too many times is never a problem. So I'm also going to go to thank you all for being supportive of the senior staff team, the board members over time in the chair, as well as the, it was really a team effort to get to where we were about 5 or 6 months ago before anyone ever heard the word pandemic. We were just talking about timeliness and how we were not, you know, where we wanted to be in terms of making it by March 31st. And at that point, we put a workload team together. We adopted vacations for folks, and we did all, we took all kinds of measures to make sure that it would happen by March 31st. So it did, and the numbers do show that the standard is 60% of the cases should be closed. And we are at 61.2% of our cases closed. And the within 30 days, I'm sorry. And then the standard for 45 days is over 80%, and we closed 83.7% of field cases within 45 days. And the other standard is the average age of our pending open cases. The standard has to be under 30, and we are at 20.2 days old for our average case age for the month of March. As the board members all pointed out, it was a team effort, starting with the staff in the field, the clerical staff, the legal support supervisors, the presiding judges, the IT staff, the executive team. Everyone worked together to make it happen. And as a person who started here as an ALJ during the last Great Recession, I understand how much work that is to, just keep at it day after day. So I wanted to thank everyone for allowing us to get to this point where moving forward, we're caught up. Our cases are still fairly new. We don't have a backlog. So we are very well positioned to move forward in this whole new world that we are now all living in. One of the, I appreciate Member Allen understanding how tough it was to go from the way we did business just a short 6 weeks ago to practically overnight, closing offices to the public, being able to get the equipment and the policies and the telework policies, working with the unions, working with the Department of Labor, LWDA, and all to get to that point where we could have those that could telework and wanted to telework positioned to do that. And I don't think I can underestimate the amount of time and energy that goes into that sort of project. I mean, from the simplest things of just procurement of equipment to training to, you know, the little glitches along the way. And I will say that the management of the local field offices they've been very hardworking to make these things happen, both for the staff that was able to telework and the ALJs that were able to telework. So as I think it's been pointed out during the correspondence communications to all employees, the field offices have been closed to public access since March 17th, and we started hearing by then. Then let's see. Unfortunately, part of the highly paper-based appeals process, because of that, the support staff, much of the support staff is still required to come into the office to prepare the appeals for the hearing materials and to mail appeal decisions. Because of the ALJs, many of them working from home or working independently in different hearing facilities, there has been room in the offices to create the social distancing requirements. And we've, you know, followed up and had them report how that was being handled, as well as other protective measures for the staff that needs to come into the buildings every day. And they're very much appreciated for continuing to do that work. We have received multiple communications, both from the Government Operations Agency, CalHR, the Department of Labor's, you know, regulations on the new programs, like the regulations were 123 pages long. So we've been working very diligently to keep up with what we're supposed to be doing and comply with the latest communications and, you know, triage employee requests for leave and develop solutions for challenges for implementing new policies and clarifying what those policies are and so on. So I, you know, it's a certainly busy. There's not a day that there's too much free time in between. But I think that we've all worked together very well. We've managed to master the Teams meeting on Microsoft, and hopefully by next month we'll be able to have a board meeting using that once we work out the glitches. So there's all of that happening. One of our little impediments now is just getting equipment, just like everyone else in the state. We're trying to buy more laptops, trying to procure phones, other kinds of equipment that you use to work remotely, and everyone in the state's trying to get them. So we have been a little bit stymied by that, the process of procurement. So as the chair pointed out, the workload had, I mean, the number of claims filed in the last month already exceeded what the entire last fiscal year was. So we have a lot to work to look forward to. Generally, there is a 2-month lag before COIB begins to see the appeals for a time period. So for the appeals that are coming in now, these are for UI claims that were filed in late February. So we should begin to see the March COVID-19 related appeals probably the last week of April, beginning of May. Although we are seeing a small uptick in the UI appeal workload, it's not dramatic at this point. For the budgetary concerns, I'm going to leave that for Rob. You know, we have been working with EBV on the May revised projections and other things, but as anyone that reads the newspaper knows, that the everything's back to the drawing board as to the you know, what's going to happen with the budget. Where we are, looking at my notes. We have identified goals for hiring ALJs and support staff. We are already in the process of recruitment for a total of 18 ALJ positions. Our hope is that we will be able to interview, do the checks of reference and background checks, and hope to onboard at least a portion of these ALJs by mid to late May. The process is a little difficult because of the inability to actually meet people, so we'll try to do these interviews and so on through the Teams feature on our computers. So then in terms of staff hiring, we are going to look at, you know, again, consistent once the May revise funding is clear, and we will hire the staff as necessary in the locations where it appears the workload is. And also try to look at new ways to do business given the shakeup that's happened so far. The silver lining is it gives us an opportunity to revisit how we do things, the number of outstations and how the agency operates. And so looking for a longer range plan on what will work in a situation where more people will be teleworking. I've communicated with some of the division chiefs and presiding judges at other departments as to how they are, you know, doing their hearings and getting exhibits and so on, and different solutions and tools that they've been using. And of course, we are in the middle of the our appeals modernization project plan, the case management electronic solution. And I earlier this week, after consultation with a labor agency CIO and our CIO, reached out to the director of the California Department of Technology, requesting assistance in expediting our project. So given that we are working on the unemployment appeals, that we would, rather than being in the normal queue, that we would be considered an expedited project and be able to procure the vendor and move that forward more quickly. So I'm happy to report that late last night, they reached out to our CIO, and it appears that we are going to be able to move that project more quickly, and he can report more on the details of that. But that was very good news for us right now. So let's see if there's anything else on my notes. I don't think I have any more on my notes that I thought essential to report today, but I may have missed something. So if any of the members have any questions, I'm certainly obviously open to answer any of them.
Okay, thank you, Elena. Let's just go through the roll of members, and if you can ask any questions, make any comments you have at that time, we'll start with Vice Chair Reeves.
Thank you. Thank you, Elena. I do not have any questions, but thank you for all your hard work. It's kind of amazing how much you guys have done in such a short window of time.
Thank you, Dan.
That's all.
Member Eng.
Thank you.
Member Eng, any questions or comments for...
yes, sorry, I just unmuted. Yeah, thank you for the report. And yes, I do see the appellate operations and the, amazing move to meet and exceed the DOL guidelines. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Member Eng.
Thank
Member
you.
Allen, any questions or comments?
Yes. Hi, Elena. I do have a few questions.
Sure.
Elena, I realized that there was a lot of going on with having to go to telephonic hearings, but were there any health or safety concerns that came up over the last few weeks for the staff?
In terms of
other
the ALJ?
COVID-19.
Right.
COVID-19 or just general operations, because I always ask that at all the meetings. So either?
In terms of security, and because we were all phone hearings and all, you know, not open to the public, we did not have any security concerns addressed to us. You know, we did field a number of questions about you know, the use of, you know, procuring hand sanitizer and gloves and those kinds of things. And we did issue information about that and consistent with CalHR and the Department of Public Health standards that they put forth for employees, because there was understandably confusion about what was expected with different shelter in place orders and different cities having different
right.
or what was supposed to take place. But we did address those just statewide for people that had questions.
Yeah, and then my second question, Elena, and this is something that maybe it's developing information. It came out of today's conference. There was a press conference by Governor Newsom, and Julie Hsu was part of it. A lot of it dealt with unemployment insurance. And apparently, in 2 weeks, they're going to set up a parallel system called the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, the federal program.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, is that going to require us to train our appeals judges on a whole different system regarding this program? Because apparently the governor made a comment that special rules will be in effect to not affect the implementation of AB5, and that in terms that we wouldn't be categorizing these new workers that are self-employed or independent contractors or gig workers. So I don't know if we have any information now about it, but if as we get information in the future, if you could let the board members know what's going on with that, it would be appreciated.
Yes, Member Allen, I watched the news conference today as well, and one of the things that the PUA, odd acronym, but anyway, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, is modeled after the DUA, which is the Disaster Unemployment Assistance that you might be familiar with after
uh-huh.
from the fires and so on. So these are federal programs that are set up for once a disaster is declared, and then this is a special pandemic one. And frankly, there are two pending now. There is still DUA, and there is PUA, and then there is unemployment insurance. And the way I understand it, I watched the news conference too, is that they're setting up a separate system, because both the DUA and the PUA will provide benefits to people who are not necessarily employees but are self-employed, you know, independent contractors and so on. So I also understood that won't be set up for 2 weeks. So there is a little bit of, you know, a lag between the money coming out and the programs being set up. So, and we are already working on with Judge Harrison and Judge Remke to work on informational materials to give to the ALJs and training on those new programs. We've started that training. I mean, not the training, but the getting the information together to give the training.
Yeah. And then the last question, Elena, and it goes back to just kind of giving this information as it's available to you, is that the governor did mention the fact that he's signing various declarations that might affect the unemployment system, such as he's put out something, I believe, today regarding work share. And it was just, if we could just, as you get information regarding these new developments, if you could share them with the board members, I know personally, I'd much appreciate it.
All right, and we do, the governor's website does put out executive orders pretty regularly now. Sometimes we only know because we check the websites daily, but if ones that will impact the way we do business, I will certainly direct those to you or inform you of their existence.
Thank you, Elena.
All right.
No
more.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Member Allen. Member Ken Manning, any questions or concerns?
Just a big thank you, Elena, for all your work and leadership. And I know combining the annual reporting timing with this must have just been really long hours for everyone. So just thank you for your hard work.
Thank you. I think some of the senior staff will maybe use the word cranky about me about now, but that's okay. That worked. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Elena. I have no questions or comments other than what I've already said, which is you've done an amazing job, you and the rest of the team.
Thank you.
We'll move on now to Item number 7 on our agenda, which is a report by our presiding judge in the appellate division, Jody Remke.
Good afternoon, Chair Block and board members. I'm just referring right now to the March 2020 performance indicator sheet in your packet. And on the right-hand side is our appellate operations. As you can see, we had quite a change in our progress for the month of March, with only 17.6% of our cases being resolved in 45 days or less. As I said, that's a dramatic change from over the past year, where we were averaging 90% or more of our cases meeting that goal. Fortunately, of course, because of that year-long history of good numbers, we had no problem still meeting the annual Department of Labor requirements, coming in at 81.6%. As I've mentioned in the past, the reason for that dramatic change was a result of the ALJs going to help out in the field. We had a majority of the ALJs do that, starting back in, I think it was late November, and the peak kind of hit in March, as we knew it would. And then again, we were able to help the field and still make our numbers. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of the ALJs that were able to help in the field. It really was their hard work and commitment to the agency that helped us push some of these numbers in the right direction. I anticipate that we'll be able to turn back the course and go back to our normal, very strong numbers in the next month or two, as everyone is back in AO and out of the field at this time. Any questions?
Thank you, Jody. We'll move in order again. First, Vice Chair Reeves, questions or concerns?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Ng, questions or concerns?
No questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Member Ng. Member Allen, questions or concerns?
No questions, other than a big thank you.
Thank you. And Member Ken Manning, questions, concerns?
No questions. Also, just a big thank you. And thank you for taking the time to provide very thorough training to me this past month during a very busy time for you. So thank you very much, Presiding Judge Remke.
Oh, of course. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jody, for your report. We'll move on now to report by someone else who's been kept a bit busy by all the telework, and that is our CIO, Jefferson Willoughby. Jefferson.
Thank you, Chair Block and members of the board. Yes, we have been a little bit busy. I think many of the items that I had planned on touching on today have already been mentioned, at least briefly, in some of the other reports. So I think I can go fairly quickly. The first is, I think, all of our first audio conference, at least in my experience and understanding as a board. Thank you for your patience and flexibility in getting this set up. We are working on other more elegant solutions going forward. You may or may not be aware of some press around bad actors coming into meetings, and we want to make sure that we have public hearings that are that flow well, allow for good public participation and closed session, and are of course secure. So look forward to that in the coming month or so. I'd like to extend my thanks to my staff. You mentioned that IT is busy. We most certainly are, in facilitating all of the telework that has been going on, the staff putting together cell phones for telephone hearings. They've been doing really fine work, and I want to extend my thanks to them in this forum. And lastly, you know, we're able to use Microsoft Teams as both a training and communications tool. And it was pretty fortuitous in our timing for rolling that out as a product. Over the past 30 days, we've held over 260 meetings using Microsoft Teams, and it's not a commercial for them, but it is a testament to its utility, and had over 12,500 messages shared amongst the workforce here at CUIAB. So it is turning into a great tool. As Member Kent Monning mentioned, her training was taken care of entirely over Teams. So we're really happy that we're able to use it, and we're looking forward again to finding better and different ways to use it in the organization. Executive Director Gonzalez also mentioned the nearly unprecedented levels of cooperation that we are getting from the state CIO, Amy Tong, and of course our agency information officer, George Okamoto. They are spearheading efforts to make sure that we can prioritize and move quickly into, or more quickly into, our project to minimize the use of paper within the organization. So we look over the course of the next several weeks to be able to get a vendor in to start creating that product and get it out into the field. And that is the end of my report.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you for putting together and coordinating and keeping me on speed on this telephonic meeting. And as you said, you're looking forward to more elegant solutions in the future, but the most elegant would be for all of us to be able to come back together in person. So
absolutely.
Hopefully that will happen. If not the next meeting, maybe by June. Are there any questions or comments regarding our CIO's report? We'll go in order again. Vice Chair Reeves.
Thank you. Will Jefferson, thank you so much. Can you please thank your entire team for their outstanding work pivoting and adapting to this new world that we're operating in? You guys have done great work. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I absolutely will. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Member Ng.
Yes, I wanted to also thank you, Jefferson, for the response on the My Analytics, and I think we've resolved that. And then also wanted to thank you for the assistance that was rendered to me by your local staff here in the area when we had some problems with logging on, and how you and your staff coordinated my ability to go to the Pasadena office and then had someone come out to troubleshoot after a busy weekend. I'm sure that was during a very difficult time, so I wanted to thank you and your staff for that.
Of course.
Thank you, Mike. Member Allen.
Yes. Hi, Jeff. Just to pass on to your staff that it's noticed and appreciated by all the board members, I know, by the comments being made. So thank you. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Member Kent Monning.
Just to echo, thank you for that to your staff on the statewide level, too, and then also with bringing me on board this past month during an incredibly busy time. Anytime I needed help with setting up my home office, it was there, and I really appreciate that. And to you also for getting my team's training kicked off with success that first day. So thank
you. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Laura. Jeff, I do have one other question. That is, and this is a pressing question, do you prefer being called Jeff or Jefferson?
It used to depend on how upset someone was with me, but now I go by either one. I don't have a preference.
Okay. You don't have a preference. Okay, because I hear you're called by both, and I know when I'm called Martin, I know somebody's mad at me, so I prefer Marty, but you're okay with either one?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, moving on then to item number 9 in our agenda, which is a report by our Chief Administrative Services Officer, Rob Silva. Rob?
Thank you. Good afternoon. And from now on, I want to be referred to as Robert. So, no, I'm kidding. with all the intensity we're discussing, I guess I'll start with a small feel-good piece, and that's with regard to the state's bilingual pay differential. As long as I can remember, it's always been $100 per pay period for employees, and the current administration just doubled that to $200 and backdated it to October 31st of 2019. So that doubled bilingual pay differential will impact 39 of our employees in a positive way. A quick procurement update. Last week, I sent an email to all employees stating that the California Department of Public Health has advised that state employees who interact with coworkers may consider the personal option of wearing cloth face covering. In that same email, we also announced that employees wanting to purchase items such as face coverings or gloves to exercise that personal option of wearing them in the workplace, or who wanted to buy sanitizing products, could do so themselves and get reimbursed by the state through the CalAters system. Over the last month and change, CUIB, like many state offices, has been receiving our office supply orders with many of these pandemic-related items on back order from vendors. Offices are starting to receive some of these previously back-ordered products, and CUIB is continuing to explore all procurement avenues when these items are requested. Again, the aforementioned reimbursement opportunity just provides another option to employees to obtain these products. Another general procurement update, the current fiscal year deadline to submit purchase orders for non-IT commodities is next Thursday. We have a few outstanding requests for furniture and equipment for the current fiscal year, and all of those purchase order requests should be completed by this Friday. And I also wanted to update on the EPSL, EFMLA processes. Effective April 1st, employees can apply for emergency paid sick leave and or emergency paid, it's a EFMLA, emergency paid family medical leave expansion. The first, the EPSL, is in place for an assortment of pandemic-related categories, such as being in quarantine, caring for somebody in quarantine, having COVID symptoms, caring for children whose school is closed due to COVID-19. That program provides 80 hours of sick leave for those that qualify. The latter program, the EFMLA, is a paid form of FMLA specifically in place for those caring for children due to school closures, and it will pay 2/3 of a qualifying employee's salary for a period of 10 weeks. Last week, we distributed forms and instructions to all of the CUIB employees for those programs, and we've since processed and approved a handful of those requests. With the implementation of the pandemic unemployment assistance, pandemic emergency unemployment compensation, and federal pandemic unemployment compensation programs, the EDD is coordinating the supplemental budget request application to the Department of Labor for the one-time costs to implement the administration of these programs. California's supplemental budget request is due to Department of Labor on April 30th, and CUIB has a deadline of April 17th, which is this Friday, to provide the EDD with our projected one-time administrative costs for these three programs that are starting. These administrative costs are things like IT programming for our appeals tracking system and our time reporting system, ALJ and staff training, standard paragraph development, and updates to our appeals procedure manual. After the actual implementation of those programs, when we do start receiving casework associated with it, we will have direct charge program and activity codes that our staff will be able to utilize in our time reporting system to track the time spent on cases that are in those actual categories. And also, with regard to next fiscal year's budget, we haven't met in person with EDD's group because things have been so fluid, as we all know. On March 12th, we received initial UI workload projections from EDD's program estimates group. it was less than a week later that the pandemic really started taking grip, and California economists issued forecasts indicating unemployment rates higher than the projected rates that drove those initial workload projections that we had received on March 12th. And we were subsequently sent updated workload projections. Of course, the following two-week period, as you've already alluded, we saw nationwide UI claims being filed at record levels. This prompted California economists to project higher unemployment rates than previously projected in late March. And just this Monday, April 13th, we were provided with yet another updated set of UI workload projections by EDD's Program Estimates Group. Barring another update, these should be the workload figures that will be submitted as part of the May revise. Department of Finance does have a written policy that these workload projections are deemed confidential prior to the official release of the May revise, so don't necessarily want to get into them in the public board meeting. However, if I'm missing anything that you would like, please feel free to reach out to me with any questions you may have with regard to that. I would like to thank the administrative services staff publicly. This has been a really interesting six-week period, and they have had to resolve a tremendous amount of problems, and they've done so very swiftly and very professionally. I also want to assure the board that in addition to the people sitting at the virtual table today, the Elena Gonzalez, Jody Remke, Jefferson Willoughby, or as I call him, Jeff, there's also Mark Wissam, Kim Hickox, Lori Kurosaka, Sieg Run, Ralph Hilton, Carl Vega. All these people have just been really, really working their tails off over the last 5-6 weeks as we work our way through this. So I want to praise them as well. And I'll turn it over for questions.
Thank you, Rob or Bobby or whatever.
You deserve that.
Are there
Rob.
Any questions for our Chief Administrative Services Officer, Rob Silva? We'll begin with Dan, Vice Chair Reeves.
Well, thank you, Mr. Silva. I appreciate the report, and thanks for all your hard work. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Member Ng.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief Silva, I remember 2 months ago, the big discussion around the budget was the possible impact of AB 5, especially in connection with the extra work on those tax classification cases, and what a difference 2 months has made. is that still part of the discussion, or is that kind of receded from the budget talks right now?
It's receded from the budget talks, and I was also told by employees within the Program Estimates Group that they're not, for the coming fiscal year, they are not making a budget consideration for CUIAB for AB 5. They simply don't know what the workload impact will be. So for the May revision, there will be no consideration of additional funding for CUIAB for that particular issue. Although I have a feeling that with everything related to the pandemic happening so quickly, that we'll probably have an interesting October revise adjustment, and whether or not AB 5 is addressed at that time, I do not know as we speak currently.
Okay, thank you very much. You answered my question, Chief Silva.
Thank you, Mike. Member Elton.
Yes, I have a question for Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
So first of all, I thank you for mentioning all the folks that you're working with that we so appreciate that weren't mentioned previously. It is appreciated. I guess the question I have for you is that, given the fact that there are such high likelihoods that there's going to be unanticipated things that happen over the next few months, given the state of public health emergency, you know, sometimes when you build budgets, they use the terminology of fudge factor. Sometimes they use the about having educated guesses. I'm just wondering, in this, when you put together your final request, can there be some sort of footnote or something, just because I think this is going to be a very dynamic area in terms of the economy, in terms of unemployment and unanticipated results coming out of this pandemic. So that's kind of like my long-winded question is, how do you deal with this when there is so much uncertainty and that you can only do an educated guess when you put together our request for funding?
Well, with regard to rate, I mean, we're still working on the three new programs that we previously mentioned, the PUA, the PEUC, et cetera. But as far as regular unemployment benefits are concerned, you're right. We're utilizing, well, I shouldn't say we, because ultimately it's the Employment Development Department that's responsible for doing this, is utilizing the most recent UI rates for calendar years 2020, 2021, 2022, as forecasted by California economists. So those are the UI percentage rates we're looking at that will drive this, but you're exactly right. I mean, if we're two more months similar to the previous month, this thing could get a little more hairy. And I really don't know how to answer the question other than we're working closely with EDD, and if it does become more hairy, we will address it in the October revised procedure. As it looks now, I mean, obviously we're going to have a budgetary increase, which is as yet to be specifically determined for the coming fiscal year based on UI projections. But
thank you. I understand how difficult it is. I was just wondering, it's the best you can do under the circumstances, really. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Member Ken Monning.
No questions, just a big thank you. And I will tell you, Rob, because I think we've only met once in person, so I'll hold off on Bobby for now.
Thank you.
I'm sure he appreciates that, Laura. I do have one important question for you, Rob, and that is, do we have enough toilet paper in the offices?
No, it's out of all of the alerts, complaints, issues that have come up, I haven't seen a single complaint about a lack of PP in any of our facilities.
Well, that's a relief. That's good news. Okay, item 9 was the last item on our open session agenda. Today we have no closed session items. Is there anything else that any members wish to bring to our attention before we adjourn? Hearing nothing, I will declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you all for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.